Hello and welcome. Happy Nintendo Month, everybody.
Woot woot.
You're listening to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. Very exciting today. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm Will Brueggemann. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, this is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music.
And of course, Carl and I are very excited because all throughout the month of November, we're going to be taking a look at all kinds of franchises, games, and composers under the umbrella of Nintendo.
Yeah, this is the second annual Nintendo Month. Hopefully you guys, if you've been with us for that long, remember last year, that was our very first Nintendo Month of this podcast. It's a tradition that we're going to keep doing every single year. So it's something to kind of look forward
to. Well, I mean, it's only fair because Nintendo has, I mean, always throughout video game history, just been the pioneers for game music. And, I mean, in almost every era, they have some of the best stuff, and they have some of the most creative and inventive composers in the industry, still to this day, in my opinion.
I would say, in our opinion, Nintendo is really one of the only topics that we could see having an annual monthly showcase. I can't think of another
And still,
company.
I mean, we play so much Nintendo music, not in Nintendo Month. So
one of the things that we like to do for Nintendo Month, and today's a great example, is focus on maybe some games or some series that maybe we haven't had a chance to dive into very much. And this is one of the most extreme examples of that today. The topic of today's episode is Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Now, isn't that crazy? We just haven't done enough Fire Emblem on this podcast. We haven't really gotten around to it. But Fire Emblem really is a behemoth series in the Nintendo umbrella.
It's one of the longest and most loved series, definitely.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons it often gets overlooked, especially by Carl and myself, is it was, for a long period of time, a series that was only really available if you were in Japan, because so many of the games only came out on the Famicom or the Super Famicom. It really wasn't until, I think, the Game Boy Advance where those of us in America were able to get an exposure to those games. And now, since then, it's become such a beloved franchise all over the world that
Absolutely.
Its characters have shown up in, I believe, two of the Super Smash Brothers games.
Yeah, so we're really glad to start off this Nintendo Month with Fire Emblem. We think it's a great topic, and it's fitting that we haven't played virtually any. I think we've played two Fire Emblem tracks on the whole podcast. So there's so much great stuff that we haven't played that it's really cool to get, at least for us, a new
Nintendo franchise that's already there for us.
It's exciting.
With an abundance of games and music. So I think this is going to be a very fantastic episode, and it's really going to be fun to explore some of the composers that are unique to this series and some of the compositional elements. So I'm really excited for this entire month. I hope all of you stay with us through this month because really I think we're going to have just a fantastic time. And of course we're going to be listening to some of the best in game music. And, you know, we may be talking about some more topical things as far as games and music for the games that Nintendo's releasing.
Yeah, there's definitely some exciting things on the horizon, and I personally think last year some of our best episodes we've ever done were for that first Nintendo month.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
looking
really crazy. We got to do Zelda episode, Metroid, all kinds of just behemoth series that we love so much.
Right.
For those of you who are unaware, the Fire Emblem series is a tactical RPG series that for a long time really was only available in Japan.
Absolutely, and it was for the most part developed by Intelligent Systems, which is one of the great Nintendo developers.
I mean, I think for more recently they're famous for doing things like, you know, Super Paper Mario, and I even believe like that game Pushmo, that download and play game, and of course they made the wonderful Super Metroid and other things like that.
Absolutely. So the very first Fire Emblem game was released only in Japan for the Famicom. It came out in 1990, and the full title was Fire Emblem Enkoku Ryu to Hikari no Tsurugi. Now, the English translation of that is Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light. So we're going to try to keep to some of the Japanese titles today, but we'll kind of also tell you their translations. Once again, came out in 1990. The track you heard playing in was the main theme from this first game, and it is the main theme of the whole series. It's used in a lot of subsequent games. We're going to play one more track from this first game. This is called Battle Map 3, Victory Nears, and this was composed by Yuka Tsujioko. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Cool, you're listening to Battle Map 3, Victory Nears, from the very first Fire Emblem game for the Famicom, composed by the Fire Emblem composer Yuka Tsujioko. She is the composer that is responsible for creating the musical world of Fire Emblem. She worked on every Fire Emblem game up until around 2003 or so. So just an absolute veteran.
Really crazy how she didn't really spread into more Nintendo franchises like so many of the other composers.
Gotta say,
did.
She had her work cut out for her. She had enough. This is lots of games, lots of music for every game. So she definitely...
I mean, when we were going through, these are absolutely gigantic soundtracks. There's upwards of 100 to 300 tracks in each game.
Especially
it's
later
just
on.
Crazy.
You know, not as much for the NES, but especially for Super Nintendo and Game Boy Advance and stuff. But yeah, let's talk about this track. Love this track. I think it's a really interesting use of meter. That one section you just heard there, actually most of the song is actually in 7/8. Now, we've talked about those odd meters before. One thing that I like about this song is the drum beat in the B section is 4/4 over the 7/8 group. So boom, cap, doo doo cap. It's cool that the drums are in their own meter. Isn't that cool? Just really catchy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely catchy. And I think it's a really good point that you made. You know, when we were talking about that 7/4 track last week, it definitely wasn't for the NES. So it's really crazy to hear those sort of advanced metric things happening on the NES. That's something that you didn't get a lot. One thing that I've noticed about Yuka Tsujioko is that I don't believe she has the most technical prowess for implementing music onto the NES, but what I love is she sort of makes up for that with interesting musical things. An example would be having a sort of odd meter. You know, you don't have a lot of moving parts, you don't have a lot of interesting instrument switching or different timbral colors, but there is that interesting meter sort of groove to it. And like you were mentioning, adding that 4/4 beat on top of it really gives it a sort of sense of rhythmic sort of dissonance and a little bit of syncopation.
And it makes
really
the odd meter stand out. It makes it really evident that the rest of the instruments are in their own meter. It's really effective. One thing that I like about this piece is
The fact that you can keep that ostinato throughout the whole thing is really effective.
Really cool stuff. Now let's move on to the second game in the series. This was also released for the Famicom, once again, just in Japan here. This came out 2 years later. This was released in 1992, once again composed by Yuka Tsujioko. This game is called Fire Emblem Gaiden. Let's take a listen to a couple pieces from this game. We're going to start things off with Battle Map 2-1, Celissa. Awesome. You're listening to Battle Map 2-1, also known as Celissa, from Fire Emblem Gaiden for the Famicom, composed by Yuka Tsujioko. Now, Yuka's mentor at this time was Hirokazu Hiptanaka, actually, and he actually did some supervision. He actually was the supervisor on this Fire Emblem Gaiden game.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really fun to think of those legendary Nintendo composers working together.
Isn't it?
It's almost just like a fantasy of being able to go back to when some of that just on the cusp of such imaginative musical writing.
It's cool
when that stuff was happening.
Her compositional style is very different from Hiro Hiptanaka's, but it's cool that he kind of, you know, inspired her in a way.
An interesting challenge that's really set out for the Fire Emblem games as far as the music is really its function is very different from that of most video games, being that the series has this huge tactical strategy element to it. The music really needs to serve as more of background music as opposed to foreground music, because there's a lot of sort of contemplative and, you know, strategizing elements to the gameplay. So you want something that has a rocking background backbeat, but something that, you know, you can loop and listen over and over again and just sort of not really pay much attention to.
Yeah, another challenge, I'm glad you brought that up, that a series like this will have to a composer like Yuko Tsujioka is you can't always have this roller coaster of emotions like a lot of songs and video game music has, because it kind of has to be a little more uniform.
Right, I completely agree, especially because it's not like a typical RPG series where it's more about characterization and dialogue.
Yes.
You know, as far as the battle mechanic elements to it, it's a little bit more streamlined.
Yeah, and actually it's kind of fun. We're playing three pieces up front from the 8-bit era, and all of them are battle map themes. I think, the strongest pieces in these soundtracks. So it's cool to kind of hear that context for video game music.
Yeah, I think something that's very interesting about this, I think this is the first series where the type of music that's being created really is sort of begging for more channels and begging for more advanced hardware. Fire Emblem music really starts to come into its own on the SNES and
GBA.
Especially, honestly, even into like the GameCube
and
Wii. You know, when you can create a more authentic orchestral sound, that's really what this type of music wants. And you can even tell on these 8-bit soundtracks, that's really what Tsujioka is going for.
Well, one unique thing, there's a lot of unique things about the series. One of them is, in our opinion, we think the series really comes into its own musically very recently, which I think is kind of not the norm for a lot of these series. Usually we think, oh, the NES had the best music. Really, I think a lot of great music throughout this entire series, but some excellent recent additions.
Yeah,
to
I think
series.
That really has to do with some of the challenges that we were talking about, is being that this music is so innately like background oriented, you know, there's sort of a lot of complex, subtle musical elements that really should be present in a piece like this that you just can't do on the NES, in too much excessive part writing that you normally would see in a lot of NES music would really be distracting here.
Good point, Will. Let's play one more track from Fire Emblem Gaiden. This is Battle Map 5, the final map BGM, composed by Yuka Tsujioka. This is the final map BGM from Fire Emblem Gaiden for the Famicom. This is one of my favorite tracks of this game. For me, it's one of the most accessible melodically. I think it's a very solid melody. That one of the rare things about it in the context of this game is it's reminiscent of other video game series. I think Fire Emblem in general is very unique musically. This is one of the tracks that definitely feels kind of classic video game music.
Yes, something that struck me about this upon the first listen is that obviously you have that sort of descending chord structure, and it's very minor key oriented, but something that definitely struck me is it's natural minor. And what that means is you don't get any harmonic or melodic minor tones in it. And that may be sort of confusing terms to those of you who aren't familiar with those musical terms, but basically what that means is I'm sort of talking about the 6th and 7th scale degrees.
Well, on a very simple sense, what that means is you're not getting a major 5. When you have a resolution on usually the final chord of a traditional
like
cadence,
that pitch right there,
you're not getting, for the most part, a major chord to end a cadence. So it has a little bit more traces of tragedy and sadness,
well,
I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There's more of like a tragedy and sadness feel to it rather than that sort of demonic, especially the da 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 as opposed to da da da, which is something that you'd get
in like Castlevania, something a little bit more churchy, you know, something a little bit more scary. Right. All right, we're going to now move on to the Super Famicom. This is the next generation in the Fire Emblem series. This game is sometimes referred to as Fire Emblem 3, but the official Japanese title is Fire Emblem Mansho no Nazo, and this was released in 1994 for the Super Famicom. It was composed, of course, by Yuko Tsujioko. Let's take a listen to one track from this game. This is called The Fate of Fire Emblem. It's kind of a slight variation on the main theme in a certain way. It also has a lot of very, very familiar classical influences. Let's take a listen. You hear those nice inner voices on the woodwinds. One cool thing about this piece is it actually keeps going, and it keeps slightly building the instrumentation every time that theme comes back. It's something that I think is very, very powerful for the Super Famicom. This is from Fire Emblem Mancho no Nazo, and this is The Fate of Fire Emblem.
Absolutely. This is just a very, very classic Nintendo piece. It's such a gorgeous melody. I think, again, it's sort of what I'm saying is, like, once you get into the SNES, I feel like this series sort of starts to come into its own musically as far as its style. And another thing I love about RPG games in this era is there's so much creative sort of cross-pollination, in a sense. You know, composers are constantly getting inspired. Well, I guess you have this in all eras, but composers are really getting inspired from other games that are coming out around
That's
the same
a good
time.
Point.
You know, you hear a lot of Final Fantasy influence.
Do you ever?
And, you know, you actually, later on, I feel like you do get a lot of Legend of Zelda influence, and it's like Final Fantasy gets stuff from Zelda, Zelda gets stuff from Final Fantasy.
It's hard to keep track of.
Yeah, it's really fun how sort of those worlds and those styles really become popular at a certain point.
And I think all of them benefit from that. It's this really symbiotic relationship. One thing that I love about this piece is the clarinet that comes in halfway through has really beautiful kind of inner voice harmonies that are very traditional and I think follow a lot of kind of classic theory conventions.
This is just crazy how good this melody is and how it's working with that arpeggiated chord pattern.
You hear this retard right here? Now take a listen. You're going to hear this theme really slow here. Check this out.
It's just beautiful. Yeah, the way that melody sort of dances around that arpeggio is absolutely exquisite. You know, it's such a simple melody. So with melodies like this, it's really important that every note accents that pattern in a very specific way, and each pitch that you land on really feels right with
the chords.
It
has to be in classical music, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very much composed with a structured classical sensibility, and the pitches that are landed on really just make it one of the most beautiful songs in the whole series.
We're going to now move on to the second game for the Super Famicom. This is Fire Emblem Seisen no Kaifu, and the English translation of that would be Fire Emblem Genealogy of Holy War, and some people call this Fire Emblem 4. This came out in 1996. It's crazy to think this was the year that the N64 was released, and so this is a pretty big game for the Super Famicom. Now, if you guys aren't familiar, the Super Famicom was actually still popular in Japan well after the N64's launch, so although we didn't see as many Super Nintendo releases, you had quite a few Super Famicom releases well after that. So let's take a listen to a few tracks. We're going to play three tracks from this soundtrack. We really like this one. Let's take a listen to The Final Holy War, Turn Begins.
We'll be right back.
beautiful piece of music. You're listening to The Final Holy War, Turn Begins, from Fire Emblem Seisen no Kaifu, and this was composed by Yuka Tsujioko once again. It's really fun to hear such strong, in my opinion, Final Fantasy influence in this track. What do you think, Will?
Well, I think definitely, and again, it's that cross-pollination. I hear a lot of Koji Kondo influence, yeah. And I think really what we're talking about is a lot of sort of those harmonic cliches and reoccurring patterns that were really just sort of floating around Japanese art and cultural
music.
Yeah,
this section here
reminds
me of Ahead on Our Way, the B section from that song.
Right.
Kind of goes to the
drum halftime feel. But, has sort of that type of harmonic thing. It was really just sort of in the air
at that point in
Japanese writing.
Yeah, one weird thing is this soundtrack in general gave me a little bit of Star Fox, maybe 64
Well, there's a little bit of that as far as sort of the tone of it.
Some of the marching snare drum kind of feel, yeah. Yeah, one thing that's really cool about this music, and it makes sense from this tactical RPG genre, is there's a lot of militaristic kind of marching on the snare drum. Very brass, kind of triumphant fanfares that you'll get in this series, which is really fun.
The thing that I like is you do get those fanfares, but what's awesome is this game does sort of fit into that sort of quasi-medieval...
Oh, yeah.
You know, that...
From another
era.
It's
like when we were talking about RPGs, how most of them sort of take place in this mystical older world. You know, people have swords and things. It's not like a modern context. It's something more fantastical, more reminiscent of like an older era.
I think those eras are the best, in my opinion, for to have a tactical RPG game.
Well, that's
what I'm saying. That's what's so cool
is typically when we think of militaristic music, it has a little bit more modern and like 20th century connotation.
That's a good point. Like this, World War II or something.
Yeah, you get like a blend of those march militaristic rhythms and as far as the writing of like fanfare and instrumentation, but as far as the chords and actually as far as sort of the melodic writing, I feel like there also is that there you do get some like Dorian influence.
That's a very good point,
Will. Elements of older music as well.
I like that point. Well, we're going to play a couple more tracks from the soundtrack. Let's take a listen to a track called The Allied Forces. This is The Allied Forces. This is really, I think, one of the strongest pieces of music in this game. This is really Yuka Tsujioko kind of flexing her chops and saying, you know what, I'm capable of doing something very authentic for this series. I know other composers, you know, of this era might have a reputation for being very authentic to certain traditions like classical. And this is kind of Yuka Tsujioko saying, you know what, I can put my hat in the ring as well.
Well, I feel like you also get some 19th century musical elements. That B section, both Carl and I remember listening to this, it just sounds a lot like Pomp and Circumstance.
Sounds like we're graduating, doesn't it, folks?
Oh, absolutely. Another thing that I absolutely love is the flat sixth. It's a borrowed chord. It's actually called the Neapolitan chord. And typically you go from that to the flat seventh to bring you back to the one.
Yeah.
But this piece does something very interesting right here, something I really like. It goes to that flat six and back down to the major five. And
that's
a
cool.
Very nice technique. And then from there, you go back into the one. And it's a very natural way of getting back into that melody.
It's a very economical way to get back to the loop because you have the major five back to the one again. So it makes total sense. You can have a little bit of nice modulation
It avoids a lot of the cliche chord progressions that you get in video
that's
game
true.
Music. Because you hear so much flat six, flat seven, and like... You grow tired from hearing that because it just starts to sound repetitive. And really, the whole point of using those chords are to feel special and grand and to bring you to closure. And if you have a loop that's constantly doing that, it sort of diminishes the effect. So it's great that it goes back into a chord that's in the key.
Yeah, absolutely. This definitely makes me feel grand, absolutely. Let's play one more track from this great soundtrack. This is The City of Cilicia. ¶¶ Beautiful chord changes here. This is The City of Cilicia, composed by Yuka Tsujioko from Fire Emblem 4 for the Super Famicom.
I love how diverse the instrumentation is in this soundtrack. You know, when Carl and I were preparing this episode, we divided up which games that we would sort of do the preliminary run to pick some of the best stuff out. Mm-hmm. And I actually had the pleasure of getting to listen to this soundtrack.
You lucky duck.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things about it was how diverse the instrumentation really got. And It's sort of what I was hinting to earlier with the music to the Fire Emblem series. It really was craving a more advanced set of instrumentation. And something that I just love about this, it's so sparse but very authentic. You know, for that melody, you have essentially what's like a flute sound mixed with what I believe to sort of be like emulating like a glockenspiel
and
or some sleigh sort
bells.
Of bell instrument.
Sleigh bells,
yeah,
on the left.
Sleigh bells for the rhythm, but as far as the chords, you have a high, middle, and low voice for flutes. Mm-hmm. And the middle voice part writing is really nice at sort of accenting those chord changes. And you also get those like nice pits bass parts to just sort of accent that sort of 3-4 meter that's sort of implied.
Very a bouncy
two, three,
waltz to
one,
this piece.
Two,
yeah,
three.
When Yuka wants to, she's definitely able to do very traditional part writing, something that Bach would be very proud of her and give her an A in a theory class. When she wants to, she's capable of doing that very authentic part writing. Well, she doesn't always do it.
Well, again, what's so cool about video games is that you're able to sort of do whatever is required because it's all sort of a uniform sound. You can go from something 20th century to something 18th century to something classical or Baroque, and it all feels unified and like there's just this common thread holding everything together, and really that's the melodic style.
I love that about video game music. That's one of the fun things is that you can wear so many hats and it's not, you're not crazy. You know, you don't have a split personality disorder.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of my favorite things about this piece is this really felt like, you know, you could put this up there in the Nintendo catalog of great melodies.
Yeah.
You know, it's of that school of songwriting. It's of that school of composition, that very melodic and emotional.
And I have to say,
very
rare for this series, not trying to say anything negative, but this is not a melody-driven series.
Well, no, like
we
I said, it's sort
that.
Of like that underscore.
Yeah, so
it's more that battle music
for
thing.
Us. It's not surprising that we're gonna find these songs and play these for you guys. These are kind of some of the gems, in our opinion, maybe melodically. Like,
right.
There's a lot of great score in these games
exactly.
that maybe you won't hear today.
Yeah, in fact, that's something that I kind of wanted to talk about. I think Fire Emblem was very sort of revolutionary in the function of its music. Like I said, these are some of the largest soundtracks of the era. And it's really because there's so much great underscore that when I was listening to it, although I could sort of tell, you know, I don't think this is something that would work well on the podcast, because on the podcast, we sort of have the limitation of it only being an audible, like acoustic medium.
And it kind of has to stand on its own, doesn't
right.
it? Because a lot
and
of people haven't
it's really
played this
unfair
game.
Because the music is meant to be scoring an experience. And as far as that aspect to it, the Fire Emblem music is really some of the most advanced that I've heard, because you hear a lot of techniques that were used in film music. And what's so crazy is even back on the NES, you know, that's still the main goal. It's more score and less like tunes, where
absolutely.
Most NES music is just sort of like a series
I would
of
say
colorful tunes.
More so than Final Fantasy.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know we've talked about
well,
that
especially
idea
in the
Final
origins
Fantasy.
Of this series.
Absolutely, the type of RPG that it is. Now let's move on to the final track we're going to play from the Super Famicom. This is the last game to be released for the Super Famicom for the series. This came out in 1999. Can you believe that, Will? 1999, a Super Famicom game was released in Japan. That's just wild to me. The Dreamcast was going strong.
Gosh, that's crazy. And we're on the cusp of a new millennia, and they're still making games for the Super Famicom.
Well, we're going to play a track from this game. This is called Fire Emblem Thracia 776. Interesting title. Composed by Yuka Tsujioko. Let's take a listen to Ending War Record.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ending War Record. Obviously one of the final pieces in this game. This is Fire Emblem Thrakia 776. Now, this is a very beautiful piece, and I listened to this soundtrack. This was one of the ones I was responsible for. In my opinion, one of the strongest pieces, as far as just musically, as far as melodically, it's really one that stands on its own. You don't need to know the game. You don't need to know the context. It really speaks for itself here, and that is not the case with a lot of the pieces on this on the soundtrack. A lot of them, you really have to play the game
right.
to kind of get them.
Well,
you know?
I think in the entire series, that's sort of something that I've really noticed.
Yeah.
Is that when you're just listening to the music by itself, it doesn't quite do it justice.
Yeah.
But it is nice to sort of spotlight on these tracks that really can be taken out, these little gems that can be taken out and
I think
on their own are just so fantastic.
In some ways, it makes sense that maybe we haven't played a lot of music from this series, because really, if you just try to pick something from obscurity, it won't make a lot of sense. But it's really great. I'm so grateful we have the opportunity to dedicate a whole episode
to
it.
Well, right, because
it's
really important to talk about what makes this series special and why it has its important place in game music
and
history.
Yuka Tsuchiyoko, this is an unofficial spotlight of her. I mean, so many of the games were composed just by her. I mean, she really carried her name so far.
The weight of the majority of the series.
Absolutely.
Almost more so than someone like Koji Kondo with the Zelda series.
Later on, don't be afraid, we are going to have other composers take over, so just get ready for that. So yeah, that's a great track. Let's move on to the Game Boy Advance. Now, this is a very big deal. This game is called Fire Emblem The Sword of Flame. It's known by a lot of different titles. Another title it's known by is Fire Emblem Rekka no Ken in Japan, and another title it's known by is simply Fire Emblem. You could think of it as kind of a reboot. The reason for that, it is the first game in the series to be released in North America and Europe. This came out for the GBA, and it was released in 2003, so a whole part of the world's introduced to this series. So, very big deal here. Let's play a couple tracks from this soundtrack. We'll start off with History Unveiled, composed by Yuka Tsuchiyoko. Is gorgeous. I think that might take the cake for maybe the most advanced use of the GBA hardware. That is beautiful. This is Fire Emblem, and that track was History Unveiled, composed by Yuka Tsuchiyoko. Now,
it's so beautiful, it almost makes me wonder if the entire song is just one sample from, like...
I was actually going to ask you that, your opinion. Now, it sounds so good, that vocal sample, and they do some really good things to make it sound authentic with the timing and the performance. But do you think it's one sample that they pitched up and down?
Yeah, well, that's something that I was thinking about, too. Also, just how excellently implemented that sample is. I think whoever was responsible for the engineering of recording that sample also really should just be commended, because I think they found the pitch that they wanted to construct the melody around. The melody really revolves around three or four notes of a very close proximity. I think it's probably the middle pitch was probably the actual recorded one, and they
pitched it
up and down. But if you notice, it, unlike most vocal samples, it's not consistent. It doesn't start off with vibrato, but it's also not straight the whole time. So you have a almost like a real
very,
performer
very
would.
Authentic. Yeah.
So what's great is it's a nice slow and sparse melody. And like Carl was mentioning before, the timing of it is very acute to a real performer. If you notice, some of the attacks actually come in a little bit early and some are a little bit late. And I think it was really almost created to sound like an actual vocalist, and it really does.
It's crazy to think about the context that this is a very, very big game in the series. This is introduced to a whole new part of the world, and Yuka Tsujioko, in my opinion, is really trying to do a great job here. She's trying to give people a great first impression of the series. This is an opening theme, one of the first themes you hear, and it's a succinct piece. It's about a minute long, and it has an ending, and it really leaves you with the impression of, wow, this is really impressive. I want to play this game.
Well,
you know?
I think it's crazy how you can look at games from like the PS2 that are using vocal samples that immediately sound way more fake than this. Like, there's still part of me that's wondering, maybe I'm just completely... maybe I'm just completely full of crap and the whole thing was actually recorded.
I mean,
I actually can't tell. So good that I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
We know about the size limitations of the GBA, and we know that it was really hard to have samples. So I would, it leads me to believe that you're closer to what maybe is actually correct, but who knows? I mean, it definitely
sounds...
It's one
of the best implementations of samples.
The only thing
that
you hear is the heavy compression and the really high noise floor of the GBA, but we're going to play one more track from this game. Let's take a listen to it, Beneath a New Light. Listening to Beneath a New Light from Fire Emblem, also known as Fire Emblem the Sword of Flame.
Oh, yeah, this is a very gorgeous piece. Again, I feel like Tsujioko is really just coming into her own in this type of orchestral writing, you know, much more authentic, even than, as much as I love those SNES soundtracks, you know, the orchestral writing is sounding more authentic at this point as far as how all the part writing is working. Yeah. Some of the transitions between chords and voice leading is great. Also, in the B section of this piece, you get a really nice example of pedal tones, which a pedal
tone
is where you have a sustained note with chords and melodies moving around.
Yeah, the bass is staying the same, and the chords are moving around it, and that's so common for video game music. It's great for a piece of music that has to be looped a lot, because it kind of has this kind of static sense of emotion, and things are going up around it, and it will fit lots of different rises and falls of action, you know?
Right. And another thing that makes it feel like orchestral music is you have a melody that's sort of repeated with different instrumentation, and each time you add a different thing. So if it starts off in sort of a mid-range octave, the second time you're playing it, it's almost the impression like it's being played by strings and octaves. So again, very authentic orchestral writing.
Well, now we're going to move on to arguably one of the most famous themes in the Fire Emblem series. In my opinion, right behind the main theme, this is probably the most recognizable. This is a theme called Together We Ride, and it was first featured in the very first Fire Emblem game for the NES. A lot of people know it from the Smash Brothers series. We're going to play you a version, an orchestral version, from a live concert performed by the New Japan Philharmonic Orchestra, and this was a CD that came with some of the early copies of Smash Brothers Melee, I believe. So this is a really awesome version of Together We Ride, and we're going to play a little medley for you. So after this version, we're going to transition into the original Famicom version. Let's take a listen to this Together We Ride medley composed by Yuka Tsujioko.
Thank you.
You're listening to Together We Ride. This is the orchestral version performed by the New Japan Philharmonic. Now, coming up here, we're going to transition to the original Famicom version. It's really fun to hear this. So let's fade this back up and just take a listen to the original here. So cool to hear this. Now, one thing that I think is so fun is I definitely know that a lot of people are not familiar with this original version and maybe where this song came from, because it's really popular in the Smash Brothers series. And it's not surprising, because like we said, this was only released in Japan. So a lot of people in different parts of the world had never played this game before. So it's kind of fun to hear where this song came from, because it's a piece of music that I think really lends itself to a better orchestration.
Right. Well, yeah, it's another example of where it's written with a more advanced instrumentation
in mind. Yeah.
But as far as the raw musical elements, the bass, chords, and melody, they're all very solid. You know, this melody really feels like something right out of Street Fighter to me. I've always sort of felt that way. Originally, I thought it was composed just for Smash Brothers. But when I found out it was from this game, I thought it was quite interesting, because it's very different from most of the music in this series. You know, it has rhythmic battle quality to it, but it's a little bit more tuneful and more like conventional video game music than most of the music in the series.
Which is one of the reasons why it was reused in a lot of other games in the series and Smash Brothers, and why it was so popular. And I think it's so cool to hear it in that orchestral setting, because it really lends itself well to those instruments, the trumpets and harmony. It's a very beautiful, simple melody that, for me, it's one of the classics of video game music.
Well, one thing about that orchestration I really liked is actually when you start off with the melody, eventually you have those trumpets in harmony, but when it starts off, it's actually a trumpet doubled with flute, and then an octave higher, I think there's a piccolo doubling it very softly, but very tasteful orchestration and stuff. And it's really, I imagine for Yuka Sugiyoko, it must be very satisfying to hear a piece that you would have made, you know, long ago in the past, but never really achieving its internal greatness, finally have this instrumentation in this setting in a context where it's done up with the instrumentation that it really deserves.
Let's move on to one last game for the GBA today. This is Fire Emblem The Sacred Stones. It came out in 2005, and this was the first Fire Emblem game, I believe, where Yuka Tsujiyoko handed it off to other composers, and she took on a supervisor role here. So these are new composers now. This is composed by Saki Haruyama, Yoshido Hirano, and Yoshihiko Katamura. We're going to play one track from this game. This is, it's funny, last week, if you remember our topic, this is called The Final Battle. You're listening to The Final Battle from the GBA game Fire Emblem The Sacred Stones, composed by some new blood in this series. They did a really good job of upholding the traditions of this series. This is a pretty solid piece of music. It's good for a final battle. It's funny we didn't include this last week.
Well, yeah, there's actually a few very famous tunes that we didn't include on last week's episode because of some exciting stuff that we have planned for this year's Nintendo.
This was one of them, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah.
And we thought about that last week. We knew we were doing this.
Yeah, I can actually think of like three others that we didn't play for that same reason.
That's funny. Yeah, no, this is really well done. In some ways, does it sound like different composers? Or does, I mean, in my opinion, if I didn't know that, I would believe that this was Sugiyoko.
Well, yeah, I feel like you have just sort of a very free harmonic sensibility, and Yuko Sugiyoko had that same sort of thing where any chord is fair game, not in an experimental or atonal way, but in a way that's not really bound by style. Anything is fair game, and also having some chord cliches, but not using it with the function that you typically get in a lot of this music. Like, it's less about having a really emotional melody and more about the functionality, about returning to the form. And I think those sort of foundations have been upheld, because with music like this, that is really more underscore and is that functional music, it's really about those logic-based things. It's like, how can we get back into the form? How can this be the most effective piece of music in the most effective loop?
And it's nice because Yuka Tsujioka is still involved heavily. She's supervising this team, so she's able to say, hey guys, these are my thoughts on this series, and this is right. what works about what I've done so far.
Well, at this Let's point, this she's going. Made like thousands of
Fire Emblem yeah. tracks. She knows what she's doing in this series. From here on out, folks, this is going to be new composers, so there's no longer any Tsujioka compositions that we're going to talk about today.
But her influence extends throughout the entire
yes,
palette.
Yes, indeed. Let's move on to the GameCube. This came out the same year in 2005. This is Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. Fairly big deal, if I remember correctly, this game. It was composed by Yoshito Hirano, Saki Horiyama, Naoko Mitomi, Yutsushi Yoshida, and Kanako Turame.
Well, and if I'm correct, I think this is the game where some of the characters and some of the character models were actually used in the Smash Brothers series. This is the game
right.
that I really think launched Fire Emblem, especially in North America, into a big enough deal where that's why we really saw it as one of those mainstream Nintendo franchises.
Let's take a listen to a couple tracks from this game. Let's start off with Move Out.
That's great. We're listening to Move Out from Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. Now, this is my kind of song. I absolutely love it. I think the melody is fantastic. The writing's great. To me, it's very reminiscent of what would come later in the Super Mario Galaxy series, which is, another example of how that Nintendo influence really extends to all of its franchises, even if you don't have direct relationships between the composers.
There's a tradition. There's a tradition that's upheld not only for a specific series, but a company. And Nintendo has one of the biggest traditions. When you're working on a big Nintendo game, there's a lot of pressure in every aspect of the game, and music is maybe the biggest. There's tons of pressure here. Uh-huh. And some of these composers are new to the series. Some of these composers, especially in the next title we're going to be talking about, are responsible for some of the other really good intelligent system games we
right.
know, like Super Paper Mario. We're going to play one more track from this game, but before I do that, I just wanted to say that I really like the samples, the orchestral samples that are used in the soundtrack. Now, for 2005, for a Nintendo game, fairly cutting edge, really good high quality samples
Definitely.
That sound very impressive and have a lot of expression to them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think they're significantly better than Wind Waker samples, and especially
oh, yes.
for 2005, that trumpet performance, bum, bum, ba, ba, ba,
yes.
you know,
more
very
close to something
attack.
Like Twilight Princess, which would come a little bit later. So let's move play one more track from this game. This is called Holding Your Own.
Thank you.
This is Holding Your Own from Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. Man, this is a very intense track. Such a great, I'm assuming, battle theme, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly
this
intense
is
stuff.
Just great. You know, I love those instrument effects done by those horns, brum, 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 because those are typically things in a sample library. Those are things that are already included, so that's actually a recorded patch.
That's
not
actual performance, isn't
sequence.
It?
Yeah.
I love the staccato string sounds. Dun, 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 dun. Very powerful,
yeah,
really
very
hard bowed samples that you're getting here.
Well, and I think another thing, like you were mentioning, these samples sound great, but I think another thing that's really great is the orchestration is completely authentic to this style.
Yeah, that's what completes the illusion.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not just that the samples are good, it's that they're used in an authentic way.
Right,
that's a
right,
very
right.
big part of it.
Well,
yeah.
I think this is a piece that, again, it's hitting that type of functional music right on the head. You know,
yeah.
this isn't a track that's about melody, and it's really not even about chords. It's about rhythm and emotion still.
Absolutely,
though.
It's about rhythm. I
100%
agree. But
you get great percussive things, and you have really good orchestral technique to evoke that rhythm. It's not just simply the percussion.
Yeah,
the percussion is fantastic.
We're not saying those other elements aren't in this song.
Uh-huh.
There's great chords and melodic ideas, but the focus is what we're talking about, the heart of it, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I really wanted to play this one is that I really thought it was very reminiscent of a lot of really good film music.
This is another one that Will had the pleasure of
Yeah, I got the good
picking.
Soundtracks.
Ooh, I actually beg to differ. We'll get there. We'll get there, folks, but I'm really excited about one that I had.
Well, you got the best.
We're going to move on to Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn. We're just going to play one track from this. This came out for the Wii in 2008, and it was composed by Yoshito Hirano, Chika Sekigawa, and Naoko Motomi, and those last two composers were responsible for some other really good intelligent system games, such as Super Paper Mario. Let's take a listen to The Devoted. Such a heart-pounding piece of music. This is The Devoted from Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn. That came out for the Wii, and it was composed by Yoshito Hirano, Chika Sekigawa, and Naoko Motomi. Yeah, it's interesting. This is very well done. It's not necessarily an improvement technically from the GameCube soundtrack. It sounds very similar, but you don't really need to improve it much. I mean, this is great video game score, you know?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's all very good, except for when you have those short staccato pitches that are, you know, it's the same...
On the same note.
You know, there's just not enough round robins to make that convincing, but for every other pitch, you know, that staccato sound, you really get the feeling of, like, the texture of really digging into the strings, a very biting sound.
Yeah, one thing I like about musically this piece is you're able to get some of those film score militaristic elements in there. This reminds me of like maybe a movie like Executive Decision, something like that, where it's very intense, but it's a very specific kind of compositional style.
Well, yeah, there's
American.
A lot of modulation. There's just like an intense, it's the type of thing where I know a lot of modern film score, the notation of it, it's actually written atonally.
Oh, really?
Because there's so much modulation and key change, it allows the composer to have a little bit more freedom and not be barred down to, okay, now I'm doing a key
it's
change.
Not written it with
and
a key signature.
Just completely
eh?
Jump with any borrowed tone.
That's cool. Very cool stuff. Well, we are both so very excited. We're going to move on to our personal favorite soundtrack of this series. This was one that I had the absolute pleasure of trying to pick which tracks we're going to play. We're going to play four tracks for you, and trust us, it was really hard to narrow it down to four.
Yeah, because
so many
when Carl first showed me the soundtrack, we were like, okay, we don't want to give this one too much artificial attention. And then like about 3 seconds into the first song, I'm like, okay, we have to play four.
Yeah, so we're going to play four here. We're going to start things off. By the way, we didn't say the name of the game. The name of this game is Fire Emblem Awakening. It was released for the Nintendo 3DS just last year. I believe Japan saw this in 2012, and we saw this in 2013. Let's take a listen to a track called But Frederick, It's Nearly Dark. Really creative titles.
I love the names.
Two composers on this game, they divided the duties. This particular track is composed by Hiroki Morishita. Triangle playing in this one. This is But Frederick, It's Nearly Dark from Fire Emblem Awakening. And this particular track was composed by Hiroki Morishita. Such a great job of continuing the legacy of the soundtrack, but elevating it in some ways, I would say.
Something that's so fun about doing these sort of franchise episodes is you really get to see how the series grows musically. And it's something that I love about Nintendo, or really any series where the composers have a definite reverence for the musical roots of the original games.
This part is gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, because I feel like this is a series, you know, there's a lot of respect to the music, so it was obvious that these composers took this duty seriously. You know, this is a big game. So the music is almost, this is like the height of the series musically, and I imagine it's just going to be getting better. And in many ways, you almost get that with Zelda as well. I mean, it's, you know, Link to the Past is like maybe my favorite soundtrack, but in many ways, you know, on really good series, the music should always be continuing to grow and expand.
It's really fortunate. It's kind of a perfect storm because technology has gotten to a place in the systems that these are developed on. The 3DS has great audio capabilities. So technologically, we're at a place where we can have recorded soundtracks, some of them fully orchestrated. There's obviously some fully orchestrated tracks in the soundtrack. There's some samples, some combinations, but just great music, really subtle, elegant compositions here. Just excellent stuff. It is now time, folks, to move on to our track of the week. This is a track from Fire Emblem Awakening. This is called Don't Speak Her Name. It's a gorgeous piece of music, and this was composed by the other composer in this project, Rai Kondo. Let's take a listen to Don't Speak Her Name. Thank you. listening to Don't Speak Her Name from Fire Emblem Awakening, composed by Rai Kondo. This is the track of the week this week. I think this is both Will and I are probably our favorite song that we've heard from this series.
And I assume all of you at this point.
This is so elegant and beautiful. There's, unlike a lot of the pieces from the series, this one does have a roller coaster of emotions. This one does have rises and falls in tension with how little or how large of a instrumentation you have. You have solo piano, virtually nothing. Then you have full orchestra. You have a lot of really interesting theme and variations where themes will be hinted at in various sections of the orchestra, but with different chords and different emotional contexts. It's just absolutely masterful orchestral writing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's soundtracks that like this that make me feel like musically video games are at such a better place than films are. You know, I feel like films are on this downward sloping trend as far as the quality. But for video games, you know, in some ways, it's going down as far as like the instant melodic catchiness. But in most ways, it's just like an exponential increase. I mean, this is an example of a series where, you know, it each... Each console generation, the music just gets better and better until this is just like the apex of it all. And this piece really just, it's a roller coaster ride of emotions for sure.
And I have to say that for me, as a person who's never played 1 second of a Fire Emblem game, to have this emotional connection just to the music, if you're a fan of this series and are a fan of this game and are enjoying the game and hear this music, man, this would be a tearjerker. I would imagine it would be so powerful for you.
Well, I think that's something that I can really appreciate about entire series that I haven't really gotten into, because I know what it's like to be really invested in a series and to be really invested in its music. And, you know, oftentimes I get emotionally affected by music in like a Zelda series. But what's so great is this piece is just so wonderfully composed with such intention that the piece in and of itself is excellent and has those emotional characteristics to it. I mean, it can only get better from there. So if you're invested in the series, I mean, who wouldn't be crying?
And the ability to stand on its own is what makes this soundtrack our personal favorite. Something that is unique to this series is just for the music itself. You don't need to play the game at all.
Yeah, so with that, we're going to play two more.
Let's play another track from this. This is called In What If I Can't? What If I'm Not Worthy of Her Ideals? Once again, composed by Hiroki Morishita this time. Let's take a listen. You're listening to In What If I Can't? What If I'm Not Worthy of Her Ideals? From Fire Emblem Awakening, composed by Hiroki Morishita. This could have easily been track of the week. It's absolutely exquisite. I mean, really, it's like pick one from the soundtrack. They're so amazing. Such beautiful playing. This is a great example of the human touch in video games. It's a topic we've touched on recently, and this could have been a great showcase.
I feel this episode, this is literally touching my heart.
It absolutely is. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's dripping with expression and emotion. When that violin melody is doubled in octaves with two violin players, oh my gosh, just kill me. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I really just love is obviously you hear the Japanese film score influence. This piece actually reminds me of the main theme to a TV show that I actually really like. It's called The Legend of Korra. It's sort of the sequel series to the really popular show Avatar, The Last Airbender. But that has music with a similar instrumentation in sort of a similar harmonic palette as far as the melody. And there is a violin.
Is there
melody.
A similar level of emotional depth, though?
Yeah, especially in that Korra series.
Because this one, oh my
even
gosh.
That main theme, I just know the...
Yeah. One thing I want to say is this isn't video game music. I mean, it's music that happens to be in a video game.
It's not what people think of video game music. It's not the quote-unquote, you know, it's some techno.
Yeah, it's definitely good enough to be in anything. It would be great in a movie. It's just absolutely
It's great
solid.
On its own.
It's great music.
I think that's the ultimate testament to
it. One thing we love about this podcast is we play a lot of music that's stereotypical video game music. We love that too, and that really wouldn't work in any other medium. We also play music like this that this stands on its own. Anyone who's into music, if you like orchestral music, if you like violin music, piano, you're really going to enjoy this, I think. I mean, it's just exquisite.
Well, I think something I really like about this soundtrack is also the presentation of it for people who haven't played the games.
Absolutely.
You know, for this soundtrack, the names and everything in the structure, the way that the actual sort of album is laid out is very nice.
Yeah, like you were mentioning the titles, the really
long
titles
of this
track.
Well, I think the titles, the sort of overly emotional, like dialogue-esque titles, to me, I think that, I mean, obviously this is such authentic orchestral writing. It was obviously notated. I think those titles were actually the cues for each phrase. Like typically in a musical or a film, whenever the underscore begins, there's a little quotation box which has sort of the end of a dialogue phrase that cues up the music. So, I mean, I think that's what some of that is. But presentationally, it really just sets the mood for each piece.
It really does. Let's play one more track from this game, sadly. We don't want to leave this, but we have to here. This is Conquest Ablaze, composed by Hiroyuki Morishita. I love this track so much. It's a great departure. Pay special attention to the drums. Some great drum set playing here. Really nice jazzy influence. Sometimes reminds me of Chrono Trigger. Just a great piece, so please enjoy Conquest Ablaze. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. We had an absolute blast sharing the music of this series with you. Thanks so much.
Oh, that's so cute. They're hinting at the main theme here.
Yeah.
I'm almost getting choked up here because, you know, here we come to the end of the episode and You know, Fire Emblem is such an amazing series, and it really has become one of the core staples, and really has always been one of the core foundations of Nintendo's franchises. I mean, what an absolutely wonderful way to start off Nintendo Month. I can't wait. I know all of you will have just a wonderful time. And just, I'm so excited to share with you some of the music that we're going to play this
next
month.
Next week and the week after and the week after that.
Yeah, stay tuned because we're in for some real treats up here. So thank you so much for joining us. My name's Will Brueggemann.
And I'm Carl Brueggemann. Have an excellent week and we'll see you back here next week.
Peace out.